present Brothers in Law by Henry Cecil and Basil Dawson, based on the novel by Henry Cecil and starring Richard Briers, with John Glyn Jones, Julia Lockwood, Bridget Armstrong, Eva Haddon, and Joel Cross. Episode 13, Alibi, featuring this week's guest star, Arthur Ballard. Come in.
Morning, Roger.
Toy, what are you doing in chambers? Have you brought me another brief?
No, darling, not today. I got a message that you wanted to see me urgently.
Yes. Now, look here, Joy. It's about Sally. You know she's been away for 3 weeks, staying with our uncle in Scotland.
Is it because of Hampstead Heath?
Yes. Would you believe it? Sally getting so upset just because she found out you and I spent a couple of evenings together on the heath.
Such lovely evenings, darling.
But purely business.
You try telling that to Sally.
Yes. This is where I need your help.
Another evening on Hampstead Heath, darling. To show her it was just business.
Good heavens, no. If she gets hold of you and asks you, I want you to tell her the truth about those evenings.
The whole truth?
Certainly not. Fine. You won't be on oath. Just explain to her that they were purely business meetings. No. On second thought, no, you needn't say purely. No. Just business meetings to help me with a case.
All right, Roger. I don't suppose she'll ask me, but if she does, I'll do my best for you, only it'll have to be soon.
Why?
Because I'm going away.
Away? When? Where? Why?
Because I'm giving up.
Giving up what?
You, Roger.
Joy, how can you make such a sacrifice?
I've no choice, Roger. For 3 weeks you've been alone in London. I've had you to myself. But you're still determined to marry Sally. Come what may. So, I'm going away. But before I go, I want you to do one thing for me.
Anything? Oh, no, not anything, no. But, well, what is it?
I'm giving a little farewell party before I leave, and I want you to come.
Well, I'd love to.
Good.
But I can't.
Why not?
Sally wouldn't hear of it.
If she didn't hear of it, there'd be no harm done, would there?
She would hear of it.
You just said she wouldn't.
No, but she wouldn't hear of my going because she wouldn't trust me. But if I went, she would hear of it because someone would tell her.
Who?
Mother.
She's always liked me better than Sally. What a pity you don't take after her.
Yes, it is, isn't it?
How happy we could have been, Roger. You and I together in our own little love nest.
On Hampstead Heath.
And my uncle sending you down brief after brief, all marked with enormous fees.
Oh, don't, Joy, you'll make me cry.
Then I'd better go.
Well, where are you going?
Round the world.
Alone?
No. My uncle's taking me.
Joy, he's not retiring.
No. Just taking a long, long holiday.
Then he won't be sending me any more briefs for a long, long time. Not even marked with tiny little fees.
I'm afraid not, darling.
Well, what do I do for work?
You must know other solicitors.
Yeah, I know other solicitors. The trouble is they don't want to know me.
They'll get to know you, Roger. And meanwhile, I expect you'll pick up some lovely dog briefs. I must go now. I've really a mountain of shopping to do. Don't forget my party, will you? You simply must come. Bye, darling.
Ernest Smith, I understand that although you've been refused legal aid, you would like to have a dock brief.
Yes, my lord.
Very well. You can choose any of these gentlemen who are not engaged in the case. Will counsel who are not so engaged kindly stand up, please?
Is that all there is, my lord?
I'm afraid that's all we have in stock this morning.
Then it's a penny, mate.
What are you doing?
I've got to trust for it, my lord.
You can't. You must choose.
May I ask them any questions, my lord?
Certainly not.
How will I know whether they've done a case like mine before?
They wouldn't be here if they hadn't.
Oh, that'd be all right then, my lord. I'll have him.
You mean Mr.
Thursday, my lord?
Ah, yes, Mr. Thursday. Will you go and see Mr. Smith straight away, please? If possible, I should like to take your case this afternoon, but don't feel hurried in any way. I understand that the cases in front of you have all pleaded guilty, and I don't want the jury's time wasted. But don't feel that you're being rushed. Take your time.
Thank you, my lord.
But for heaven's sake, be quick. You haven't even moved since I asked you to go out and see the prisoner.
I was listening to your lordship. I mean, my lord, I thought if I were halfway between Council's Row and the dock while your lordship was talking to me...
For heaven's sake, get on with it. You could have heard half the prisoner's story by this time.
But with the greatest respect, my lord, I couldn't, you know. I shouldn't even have time to get his name and address.
What do you want his address for?
I don't know. Maybe very important. I mean, I don't know what his crime is yet, but if he were at home at the time he was said to have committed it, his address would be important.
Well, it was, as a matter of fact.
You'll be quiet. Mr. Thursby, you still haven't moved.
My lord, I'm on my way.
Oh. Mr. Thursby, there's no need to run.
I didn't, my lord. I fell. Oh, good afternoon, Mr. Smith.
Good afternoon, sir. No offence taken, or else that my want is a trust for you.
None at all, please. No. I should have done the same myself. After all, I'm rather young, and the other man was very, very old.
He's forgotten it all, and you haven't learned it yet.
Yes, that's about it.
Well, I'll have to make the best of it, then, I suppose.
Now, don't worry, Mr. Smith, please. If you're innocent, you'll get off.
You can say that again.
If you're innocent, you'll get off. Probably.
Does the judge know that?
He ought to.
Does the jury?
Not yet. Nor do I, as a matter of fact, because I don't know yet if you're innocent or not.
I'm innocent.
Yeah, well, a lot of people say that, Mr. Smith, but they don't always tell the truth.
You calling me a liar? Those are fighting words where I come from.
Please, no, sir, look, just relax. Look, now listen, look. What are you charged with?
Grievous bodily harm.
Then I'm certainly not calling you a liar, Mr. Smith. And now, that's the only charge of it?
That's about the worst. There's a bit of burglary thrown in.
Oh. Anything else?
Assault with intent to evade arrest.
And that's a lot?
Yes. Oh, no, I'm a lawyer. Striking a police officer. It's the grievous bodily harm I'm worried about. You can get 10 years for that.
And you say you've never done any of these things?
I didn't say anything of the sort.
Then you're guilty?
Certainly not.
Well, which have you done?
I've done the lot, mister. But not this time.
But you weren't there.
I said so, didn't I?
But, I mean, you didn't burgle anywhere. You didn't hit anybody, you didn't run away, and you didn't strike a police officer.
That's right, mister.
In other words, an alibi.
I didn't say so.
But, it stands to reason that if you weren't at the place which was burgled, if you didn't hit a man who was hit, if you didn't run away to evade arrest, if you didn't strike the police officer, then you must have been somewhere else at the time.
Of course I was somewhere else at the time.
Well, that's what we call an alibi.
Oh, I thought you'd have someone to prove an alibi.
Well, we've got you for a start.
Is that enough?
It can be. Now, when was all this supposed to have taken place?
28th of June.
Uh-huh. At what time?
10:30.
At night?
Of course it was at night. You don't go burgling out at 10:30 in the morning. Haven't you learnt that yet?
Well, I'm learning, Mrs. Smith. I'm learning all the time.
That's all very well for you, mister. You just learn that you can get 10 years for grievous bodily harm. I do the 10 years. That's a bit different, ain't it?
Yes, indeed, it's true. Yes, Mr. it is. Tell me, all this was taking place at 10:30 in the evening, at the witching hour when the burglar is cooing to his mate.
Now, look here, mister. Salty words are fighty words where I come from. A bloke once lost 3 front teeth for being salty to me.
I'm sorry, mister. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that, but please forgive me. Now, I must know where you were. You know, is that exactly where you were, geographically, at 10:30 in the evening, when all these things were happening?
I wasn't there.
Yes, I understand that. But where were you?
Let's say I was at home watching television.
Good. Now, what did you see?
Dixon of Dock Green.
Try again, Mr. Smith. I happen to know that Dixon of Dock Green isn't shown at that time of night.
Lucky you spotted it.
Look. Now, if you were at home, wasn't your wife there, too?
She was asleep.
How do you know?
Because she was snoring.
Can we say that you remember that at 10:30 p.m. on the 28th of June last, you heard your wife snoring?
I said so, didn't I?
Well, I know you said so, Mrs. Little. Is it true?
You told me a better one.
Certainly not. It's not for me to make up a case for you, but to put forward your case to the best of my ability. Do you know, Mr. Smith, I'm beginning to think that you were there at the time.
Well, you're wrong, see? I'd have pleaded guilty if I had been. This is the first time I've said not guilty.
Really, yes, you've got a point there, miss. I wonder if it's worthwhile bringing in your previous convictions and saying that you've always pleaded guilty.
What? Three grievous bodily harms? Eight burglaries? Six assaults of intent to evade arrest? What do you think a jury will say to that?
Well, my job is to get you off, whatever you think.
You said if I was innocent, you'd get me off. What's the good of saying it if you think I'm guilty? You do, don't you?
Well, if you press me, as a matter of fact, at the moment, yes, I do.
That's where you're wrong, mister, because I'm not.
Well, in that case, if you could tell me where you were when all these things happened, I might, well, it might change my mind.
Come in. Oh, hello, my dear fella. What can I do for Roger Thursby this afternoon?
Well, I'm so sorry to trouble you, Grimes, but I'm appearing for an old lag who says he's not guilty this time.
Yeah, they all say that, my dear fella.
Well, this one doesn't. He says he's always pleaded guilty till now.
Oh, well, the same sort of crime?
Exactly. Burglary, assault, grievous bodily harm, and all the rest of it.
Well, my dear fella, if you were the jury, and the witnesses identified the prisoner as doing all the things you've mentioned, and you knew that he'd done similar things in the past, would you believe him when he said he hadn't done them this time?
That's what Mr. Smith said.
Well, who's Mr. Smith?
My client.
Oh, well, he seemed a sensible fellow. What did he want to go and get caught for?
He didn't hit them hard enough, I suppose. But I can't help feeling that he might be innocent this time. Why should he plead not guilty for the only time in his life?
Well, my dear fellow, if he pleads guilty, he's bound to go down for a long stretch. If he pleads not guilty, there's always a chance.
But if he pleaded guilty, he might get a little taken off for doing that.
It is record, my dear fellow. Don't you believe it? Sort of an alibi, is he?
He doesn't talk about it very much.
Yeah, I'm not surprised, my dear fella. Where was he at the time?
He says he was at home.
Well, he'd call his wife to say so. If she's still got his last baby in arms, let her hold it while she's in the witness box. That might do a bit of good.
Yeah, but you see, he said his wife was asleep at the time.
It's an odd case, as a matter of fact, my dear fella.
Well, why do you say that?
Well, because usually the wife comes and backs up the alibi, and she obviously won't hear. Now, that's why he says she was asleep. Now, if you ask me, my dear fellow, I don't think he was at home. But why doesn't he want to see where he was, eh? Perhaps he was out with a girlfriend, eh? That's your best chance, my dear fellow. Now, look, you see if he was out with a girlfriend.
Oh, heaven, look at the time.
What's the matter, my dear fellow? You've got plenty of time. The case can't possibly come on till after the weekend.
But it's not that, Grimes. It's the girlfriend.
Smith's girlfriend?
No, mine. My fiancée, Sally Mannering. She's been away for 3 weeks, and she's due back any minute. I said you must go, Ryan. Thanks for the tip about the alibi.
Canoodling again.
Sally, darling.
Hello, Roger.
Oh, Sally, I must kiss you.
Very well, Roger. Enough.
What? Well, it may be enough for you, but it's not for me.
It'll have to be. Now sit down, Roger, and listen to me. I've something very serious to say to you.
I can explain everything.
What?
About Hampstead Heath.
I'm not talking about that.
You're not?
I don't want to hear another word about it. As far as I'm concerned, the whole incident is closed. I know your mother only told me about it because she wanted to make trouble between us. For some reason, she seems to prefer Joy to me.
I know. Isn't it a pity I don't take after her?
What?
What? Isn't it a good thing I don't? So even if I did, it wouldn't make any difference. Joy's going away.
I know. Her uncle's taking her on a world cruise.
How on earth did you know that?
It's no secret. We have mutual girlfriends. Gossip, pass it.
But you've been in Scotland.
There are telephones, Roger.
Oh, yes, so there are. Yes, of course. I suppose you also know Joy is giving a farewell party?
I do.
And you wouldn't hear of me going?
I wouldn't.
Then I'd better not go.
If you do go, Roger, our engagement is finished.
You can't mean that.
I can, and I do. When I was away, I could just about understand your seeing Joy once or twice.
Well, more than once or twice, I think.
What did you say?
What? Nothing, nothing. Go along with all you're saying.
What I've been trying to say is we can get married as soon as you like.
What? Now? How?
Thanks to Uncle Eric.
Oh, good old Uncle Eric. Going to fork out, is he?
No, Roger. But he happens to be chairman of Scottish Consolidated Industries Limited. And he's prepared to give you a job in his legal department.
But I don't want it.
You want to marry me, don't you?
Well, you know I do. But I want a career at the bar, too.
Your career hasn't been an outstanding success up to now, has it?
Oh, well, perhaps not exactly outstanding.
And there'll be no more briefs from Joy's uncle, will there?
Well, no.
So that's it. If you want to marry me, join Consolidated.
What, office work? Or going to the city every day?
Not the city. Their head office is in Aberdeen.
What? Aberdeen? You want to go live in Aberdeen?
We could have a very good life there, Roger. But it's up to you.
Aberdeen and me, or London with no briefs and no joy either.
Is this an ultimatum?
Think it over, Roger, and you'll know I'm right. I'm going away for the weekend to visit relations with my mother. Let me have your answer on Monday.
Well, I expect it'll be yes, but tomorrow I'll go for a long walk in the park all by myself.
You do that, darling. I know it always helps you to think.
Well, I've got a case to think about as well.
Oh, goodness, it will be a long walk. But, Roger?
Yes?
When you've finished your walking in the evening, don't go to that party of joys, will you?
Oh, you know I won't. I said I wouldn't, I promise. Oh, Sally, why is life so difficult? Go ahead, come on, go on, come on, come on. Choo, 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 choo. You stupid duck. There's a piece of bread over there, it's over there. There, stop there. Don't let a grape get it all.
They are stupid birds, aren't they?
They're absolutely idiots. But then all birds are, really. Oh, I beg your pardon. How do you do?
Hello.
Have we, actually met? I mean, do we know each other?
Oh, yes.
Well, how awful.
Well, you may think that, but it's not very polite to say it.
Oh, no, I'm terribly sorry. No, I didn't mean that, no. I meant, how awful of me to have forgotten.
Well, what is it that you've forgotten that's so awful?
Well, meeting you. I mean, where was it?
Well, it's here, in Hyde Park, by the Serpentine, feeding the foolish fowl.
The foolish, yes, that's rather good. I like that. Yes, feeding the foolish fowl.
Or dotty ducks, if you prefer.
Dotty ducks, no, I don't know. I like foolish ducks. Foolish fowl is much better. But the terrible thing is, I still can't remember.
What?
What? You say we met here by the Serpentine?
Hmm.
But when?
About 2 minutes ago, when you said, how do you do, and I said, hello.
Oh, that was what he meant, was it?
Hmm.
Oh, yes. But look, as I recall, we've never been actually introduced.
No. I have you at a disadvantage there.
Have you?
Knowing who you are already. You're Roger Thursby, the rising young barrister.
Oh, yes. Yes, that sounds rather good. I mean, rising young, yes. But how on earth did you know?
I've been watching you.
What do you mean? Mm. Where? No, on Hampstead Heath.
No, I'm afraid not. Do you go there to practice?
Well, you might put it that way.
How marvellous.
It wasn't bad.
What devotion to your profession. To go to Hampstead Heath and practice speaking against the tumult of the elements. Oh.
Well, it wasn't so much speaking, actually. It was more,
I'm only sorry I missed it, but then I've only ever seen you in court up to now.
Court?
I'm a law student.
Oh, really? Are you? You've seen me in court on my feet?
Well, most of the times you were just sitting, waiting for a doc brief to come along.
Oh.
Oh, but whenever you have been on your feet, I've always thought, I'll never be able to run a case quite like Roger Thursby.
Well, that's fair. There aren't many counsels who run a case quite like I do. Unfortunately for the clients.
Oh, Roger, you're too modest.
Oh, do you really think so, Miss...
Beechcroft. But call me Sylvia.
Well, why?
It's my name.
Oh. Well, in that case, I will.
Do you think you'll get him off?
Who?
Oh, the doc brief you picked up on Friday.
What happens? Were you there?
I wouldn't have missed it for anything. Especially when you deliberately tripped up to put that judge in his place.
Is that what I did?
Didn't you?
Oh, yes. Oh, I did, yes. Tripped, you know, or throws them, yes. But I don't mind telling you, it's going to be a pretty tricky case, that one. That's one of the reasons I came for a walk in the park, to think it out.
You should listen to music.
Should I?
I always listen to music when I've something on my mind. Don't you like music?
Well, I like a good tune.
No, I mean real music that does something to one.
Oh, yes. Well, you know, it's funny you said it because there is actually one piece that really does something to me. What it does, well, frankly, I mean, whenever I hear it, I simply long to have a girl by my side, you know, attractive, beautiful girl.
A girl like me?
Well, you do.
Then it must be Bach's double violin concerto.
How on earth do you know?
Oh, it affects me the same way. And you do too, Roger.
I say, would I really?
Look, I've got a new recording. Shall we listen to it together?
Now?
Well, I didn't bring it to the park with me, but I've got it at home.
Oh.
In my flat in Baron's Court.
In Baron's Court?
Yes. It won't take long to get there. What are you saying?
Well, I was asked to a party this evening, but a certain person didn't want me to go. On the other hand, that certain person is out of town. Is that right? Yeah. Right, Sylvia. Why not? Let's, give me the whirl.
Oh, Roger. This is going to be even better than watching you in court. Oh, God bless the foolish fowl.
Oh, it's marvelous. Mm. It's so moving.
Oh, good morning, Smith.
Good morning, sir.
Ah, well, now, we've got about an hour before the court sits, so let's make the most of it. Now, I've been thinking about this alibi of yours, and quite frankly, I don't believe it. I mean, I don't believe you were at home. Now, don't tell me there are fighting words, because if you start anything here, you can't possibly have an alibi, and I want to tell you this. I don't believe you're guilty.
It won't help much if the jury do, mister.
No, it won't. And the jury will if you insist upon putting up a false alibi. Now, you're on good terms with your wife, aren't you?
Certainly I am.
I thought so. And any wife will come and give an alibi for her husband, but if you don't want her to, it's because you weren't there. Now, that's the truth, isn't it?
I'll have to think about that one, mister.
Well, think faster, Smith.
All right, mister. I wasn't at home.
That's better. I suppose you were out with a girlfriend and you didn't want your wife to know.
Yeah.
No, get back. What are you doing? Get off. Don't stop that. Now, just don't come in here.
And don't you say that I'm not faithful to my wife, because I am. I've done a lot of things in my time, but I've never let Nellie down. Not in that way, I mean.
Well, that's odd.
What's odd?
Well, I believe you didn't commit these crimes and that you were somewhere else at the time. But you obviously weren't at home, and the simplest solution seemed to me that you were somewhere you didn't want your wife to know about.
That's true, mister. I was somewhere I didn't want the wife to know about.
Ah, where was it?
Baron's Court.
Baron's Court?
Baron's Court. What's the word in that?
Nothing, nothing. And what were you doing in Baron's Court?
That's the point, isn't it, mister? What's the point of my getting off on all these charges if I get just as much porridge for something else?
Porridge? Oh, porridge! Good Lord, I am a fool!
Well, mister, I didn't contradict you.
No, I'm a blithering idiot. I see it all now. Fancy Grimes not seeing it. We shall have to think quickly. Mr. Smith, at the time of the crime you are now charged with, you were committing another crime.
Don't be so proud of yourself, mister. I just told you so.
Let me think, will you? Now, I don't have to tell the police anything you tell me.
You'd better not.
On the other hand, if it's going to help, I better know. What were you doing?
I was busting open a safe.
In Baron's Court?
Yes.
Not in Telgarth Mansions, by any chance?
No. What do you mention, Telgarth Mansions?
Never mind, never mind. I just wondered. You know, one coincidence might lead to another. So you were breaking open a safe in Baron's Court?
Right.
Well, you wouldn't get as much for that as for this grievous bodily harm.
You don't know what I'll get out the safe.
You don't mean you're the chap who read the headlines? £500,000 of the jury from a bank in Baron's Court?
That's right, mister.
And none of it recovered? Have you had the impudence to ask for legal aid on the ground that you hadn't any money?
Well, if I told him I got no money, I wouldn't have got legal aid, would I? I didn't get it anyway.
Now, the question we've got to consider, Mr. Smith, is how much of this story you have to tell to the jury. You don't have to admit to another crime, but if you don't, the jury will wonder what you were doing. Yes, that requires a lot of thinking out this. Now, the one thing is that we've got to stick to the truth. But that doesn't mean we've got to tell them everything.
You know best, mister. But I thought the oath said I had to tell the whole truth.
Oh. Yes, so it does. Yeah, I'll have to think about that one. Look, I've got to nip back to my chambers now. I'll see you later in court.
Come in. Oh, I didn't meet you, fella. How's your alibi?
Ah, now that's what I want to ask you about, Grimes, now.
Yeah?
What does it mean when a witness swears to tell the whole truth? And supposing he can safely tell parts of the truth
without admitting that he's committed any crime. Mm. But if he tells the whole truth, he has to admit that he's committed a crime. Mm. Now, having taken an oath to tell the whole truth, can I object to his telling it?
Well, if it's the oath that's worrying you, but if it's a lot of nonsense, now it should be altered. People are swearing every day to tell the whole truth, and then the laws of evidence won't allow them to. Well, you don't need to worry about it, my dear fella. See, he tells the truth, and not too much of it.
Go on, sir.
Ah, yes, Your Honor. Now, Mr. Smith, at the time the witnesses say you did all these dreadful things, where do you say you were?
On the way to Baron's Court.
Now, how did you get to Baron's Court?
I walked.
From where did you walk?
I was coming from Sloane Street.
Then how did you go? Down Pont Street and by St. Columba's Church?
No, my lord. I walked down Sloane Street and took a turning on the left.
Turning on the left? That doesn't seem to be the best way to get you to Baron's Court.
I wasn't in a hurry, my lord.
Weren't you?
No. There was plenty of time.
Time for what?
Time to get to Baron's Court.
Very well, then. So you got to Baron's Court?
Yes, I did, my lord.
Now, Smith, how long did you spend there?
Quite a while. But I was definitely on the way there between 10:15 and 10:45.
And that was when you were supposed to have been laying about you in Camden Town?
That's right.
And were you alone?
Yes.
So it took you about half an hour from 10:15 to 10:45 to get to Baron's Court?
That's right.
And it follows from that that between those times, you were not at Camden Town.
I was not.
And what did you do at Baron's Court?
With respect, my lord, is that relevant to this case? He reached Baron's Court at 10:45. That was after the present crime had been committed. Surely anything he did thereafter is irrelevant to this case.
Mr. Thursby, your defense is an alibi. And anything that your client did at or about the time of the alibi might lend color to it.
It might lend too much color to it now.
What was that, Mr. Thursby?
I'm afraid I was muttering, my lord.
Yeah, well, don't, please. I want to know what your client was doing after 10:45 at Baron's Court.
Now, my lord, I very respectfully object to your lordship asking him now. You see, he might, for example, have knocked down a policeman there. He didn't. He didn't, my lord, but he might have done. And naturally, if he had, he wouldn't have wanted to say so. In my submission, he is not bound to admit that he had.
The policeman would have been a very useful witness to his alibi, Mr. Thursday.
Yes, my lord, and a very useful witness in a prosecution for striking a policeman in Baron's Court.
I see your point, Mr. Thursday. I will press the question. Have you any further questions to ask?
Sorry, darling, may I come in?
What for?
What do you mean, what for? I want to talk to you.
All right, come in, talk to me, and then go out again.
What on earth's the matter with you this evening?
You broke your promise.
What promise?
You went to Joy's party.
I did not.
Roger, I rang up on Saturday, and your mother said you'd been out all evening.
She would.
At Joy's party?
No.
Where, then?
Never mind where. The point is, I did a lot of thinking at the weekend about the future, and I've made up my mind.
Aberdeen?
No, Sally, I stay in London. I go on with my career at the bar, and I marry you sooner or later by hook or by crook.
Oh, Roger, how marvellous. You've made me so happy.
Happy? But I thought you wanted...
At last you've had the guts to make up your own mind and stick to it. If you'd chosen Aberdeen, I don't think I'd ever have respected you again. As it is, I shall always admire you, even though I can never marry you.
Oh, what do you mean, never marry? Why not?
I warned you what would happen if you went to Joy's party.
But I didn't. I can prove I didn't. I've got an alibi, like Mr. Smith.
Who's he?
He went to Baron's Court, and so did I.
Baron's Court? Well, why don't you go to Baron's Court with Mr. Smith?
I'm not sure I can answer that.
Well, why not?
There's a bank there. You mustn't ask me if I broke into it. Mrs. Smith got off anyway.
Well, what are you talking about? Oh, Roger, do stop sorting out my LPs and tell me the truth.
Yeah, not the whole truth. Ah, here it is. I thought you had it.
Roger, why did you go to Baron's Court? Who were you with and what did you do when you got there?
I listened to some music, Sally. Like this.
Darling.
Yes, darling.
Come here, darling. Closer, darling.
Certainly, darling. Anything you say, darling.
Oh, Roger, darling, it makes me want to kiss you.
Extraordinary. Always makes me feel like that, too. Kiss me, Sylvia.
What? Oh, Sylvia.
It's a song. Yes. By another old German composer. Yes. Yes, kiss me, Sally. Kiss me quick and stop asking such damn awkward questions.
In this final episode in our Brothers-in-Law series, the parts were played as follows. Roger Thursby, Richard Byers, Grimes, John Glyn Jones, Sally, Julia Lockwood, Joy, Bridget Armstrong, Mr. Smith, Arthur Mallard, Sylvia, Eva Haddon, and the judge, Gerald Cross. Alibi was written by Henry Cecil and Basil Dawson. The program was produced by Trafford Whitelock.